Hey everyone, it's Ryan and Peter here. Today we want to talk about cash. The old king dollar, the cheddar, the Benjamins, the bread, the chicken. Bucks, the chicken. The old mighty dollar became the world's foremost currency reserve in 1944, and it still reigns today. So ask yourself this, is there anything more patriotic than keeping US dollars in your bank account?
Ooh.
But how much did you actually keep in that account? How much is too much? How much is too little? And more importantly, where should you save that cash today?
Yep. Today, we're going to break down where you should be saving your money. So we're going to talk about checking and high yield savings accounts. We're going to be talking about the best banks that we currently use for high yield savings accounts, yep. Current rates. We're going to talk about treasury bills and I-bonds. So to start off, the hub of most people's finances is their checking account, right? This is where their money's flowing through, where expenses are often being deducted from. But we know that these banks pay basically zero in interest, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think today, like, inflation is raging at 7%, T-bills at 4.7%, but these banks still pay 0.01%.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. So yes. For most people, you should have the minimum in that account, right? This should be short-term expenses, right, within a month. So I've got my rent, or you got mortgage.
Just your normal bills, operating premiums, expenses.
Normal stuff for a month or so, right? That's about a fair number to keep in terms of I'm going to have whatever
some
that
type
amount
of a buffer.
Is. Some type of a buffer. Yeah, you don't want to be hitting zero each week.
Because like nobody's monthly bills are constant, right? It's always going to be fluctuating based on everyday life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So beyond that, though, we know we don't want to keep extra cash in this account. So we want to start looking at what's called a high yield savings account.
And try to have your money actually earn something. So just to be fair, whenever we talk about what should we be doing with our cash here, we're talking about just the liquid portion of your assets.
Yep.
Right? So this is the stuff that if you need it at any moment's notice, you can access that cash fairly quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah, we talked about this as in our sequence of savings video. So where should you put your money to optimize wealth building? And step one was just have some sort of cash buffer.
Right.
People oftentimes call it an emergency fund. I think the problem we see is people put their emergency fund in just their checking account and it earns nothing.
Yeah.
And usually a good rule of thumb for this emergency fund is have 3 to 6 months of expenses. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're a one-income family, you probably want to have 6 months on the higher end. And if you're two-income, you want to have 3 months is okay.
Yeah.
But again, that's just a rough principle to start with, right? Everybody's different.
And I mean, you can definitely afford to be a little bit longer on that too, even if you're like a business owner and your income or profitability is very volatile. Or if you're an entrepreneur starting a brand new business and there's just a lot of unknowns. So maybe you want to be a little bit extended beyond that 6 months, maybe 9 months or 12 months. But I think the vast majority of people, maybe 90% of individuals, can live and be comfortable with 3 to 6 months worth of their living expenses.
Yeah. And again, this is just, they call it an emergency fund, right? It's aptly named. It's in case something unknown happens, right? If I have a health event and I'm going to hit my out-of-pocket max and my full deductibles right away.
Yep.
If I have a car issue, if you have a home issue, you lose a job, right?
You want to have bursts and all of a sudden you flood out your kitchen.
Yeah. You have no clue what's going on. And there's so many studies that show financial anxiety and stress is the number one stressor for households across the world and in America.
Oh, yeah.
But interestingly, other studies try to look at what's a correlation to people that have less stress. And it's not actually always net worth or income. It's do they have a cash buffer is one correlation studies always see of people that have less stress around money. It's really interesting.
We do see it with our clients too, right?
I mean,
they just sleep better and they feel better whenever they have that cash on hand.
Absolutely.
But even though they have their portfolio is going to be substantially larger that we manage.
It just feels different.
It just feels different whenever they have that cash in it. I mean, my wife feels the same way. So I get it.
When it's at a bank, it's good. So I think, again, principle, don't have it in that checking account. Move it to a more high yield savings account. And there's a few banks that we can use. What do you use for this type
Ally.
Of account?
Yeah.
Use Ally?
So we use Ally. So Ally is the old GMAC bank. So I don't know if you remember in 2008.
GMAC. Bank.
Yeah. So General Motors had a financing arm.
Oh.
And so they went bankrupt in 2008. Sweet. And so they cleaned up their balance sheet, went through the bankruptcy process, and then smartly rebranded and decided to go more of the consumer route. So now they're Ally. Some people call it Ally. I think it's Ally.
I think it's Ally.
I think it's Ally.
Pretty sure it's in commercials. It's Ally. Yeah. We use American Express for our high yield savings account.
Perfect.
And what you'll see right now is you'll see almost 3% across the board.
Yeah.
So while your Wells Fargo or Chase bank account pays you 0.01, you go to a high yield savings account, you're getting upwards of 3%, some even more. Yeah. So you got Allies at 3, mm-hmm. Marcus is 3. I've seen Capital One at 3, American Express at 3. Synchrony is a little more at 3.25.
Yeah.
Wealthfront ekes that out at 3.3. But just take a look at these accounts. Find one that makes sense for you. And you just want to make sure this is where that emergency fund is. At least earn 3%. At least get something out of this account.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're not going to be needing this money day to day, but yet you need something set aside for emergency fund, at least try to eke out as much reasonable yield. I will say reasonable because we've had situations where we'll see people go to some random regional bank and try to open up an account there for maybe 3.5%, maybe like a 0.25% higher than like what these high yield banks will offer. Yep. And I know nothing about those banks. I doubt the client knows anything about those banks. Mm-hmm. So you don't know. I would say before you open up an account anywhere, don't always be a yield hog, I'll say. That's the nice way of saying it.
Yield hog. A yield hog. Okay.
Because you don't know what the risk is, right? Like there's always going to be some type of a correlation between like risk and return. Mm-hmm. So if it seems too good to be true, again, as you aptly pointed out last week, it probably is too good.
Probably
to be
is. Yeah. And most of these we mentioned, the ones that pay the most are online banks. So there's not some brick and mortar.
So they have
low
operating expenses. That's what it is. Like it's not a typical brick and mortar type place.
Yep. You're not showing up speaking to a teller. You're not walking into a local credit union where you maybe know the people there. So it just has to be, as you said, that risk reward. What makes sense for my cash? I like the online because I want the most yield because I view my emergency fund as I'm basically never touching this money unless there truly is an emergency. So I just want this thing to earn money while it sits there.
Yeah.
For hopefully eternity. And hopefully there's not an emergency that's needed. That's the goal is I'm not going to invest it. It's going to stay there.
Yeah.
So what if you now have, right? So you've met this. A lot of people, it can be really tough depending on your income to get to this target of emergency fund. Let's say though, you get there though, and now you have extra cash, whether it be you want to hold more and you don't want to invest it, or you've got a short-term purchase.
Yeah,
where do we go now?
So this is kind of where it deviates from the sequence of savings. So sequence of savings, you want to fund your emergency fund first. Then the next thing is, well, first you have to pay off your emergency fund. Then next is going to be your high yield debt. But let's assume that we have to make a distinction. So let's assume that all of these other issues are met within the sequence of savings. But the sequence of savings assumes that you are an actual investor. You can afford to invest your capital and you can afford to withstand a lot of volatility, but not everybody is an investor. There's a lot of people who are savers.
Yeah.
They cannot withstand the volatility. They cannot sleep well at night if it is invested. So this, what we're going to be talking about here is assuming that you are an actual saver. Or, and conversely, if you have more of like a shorter to midterm type goal, like you want to buy a house.
Yep.
So you're keeping liquid assets somewhat stable, but you're looking for some type of yield because you want to buy a house within 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, something like that.
But you want to earn something more than what the bank is.
Right.
Exactly. Okay.
So the next step is going to be treasury bills.
Yep.
It's probably the most liquid security on earth, right? That's a fair statement.
I think it's fair to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. So treasury bills, these are U.S. short-term U.S. government bonds. Again, the U.S. Bond market is considered a risk-free asset. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get a little bit into the financial technicals, every asset in the world is going to be compared against a risk-free rate, which is determined by U.S. government bonds. Mm-hmm. And so treasury bills are the short-term versions of U.S. government bonds. And they usually range from like 4 weeks out to about 1 year, right?
Yeah. So that term maturity, if you ever hear that term maturity, that's basically I'm giving the money to my money to the U.S. government. This is going to mature, i.e. they will give me my money back in less than a year. So really liquid. You're not locking up your money long-term. As you said, this is the most liquid investment and it's the risk-free rate. It's what everything is compared to. Because if I can get, we'll talk about yields in a moment on the current treasury bills. If I can get 4% on a U.S. government bond for six months, I better be expected to earn higher than that to take any sort of risk because I'm already getting this from the so-called risk-free rate.
Right. And that assumes that you hold it to maturity. And whenever we talk about liquidity, what we mean is that there's a lot of buyers and sellers for this security. So if you go on to treasurydirect.gov, which is where you can actually buy these treasury bills directly, then you can buy it directly from the treasury, and then you can sell it to some other buyer if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. That means that there's just always going to be, there's a big active marketplace for these securities. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a really good price for these, whatever the fair price happens to be at that moment.
Yeah.
So if an emergency does come up, or let's say you buy that, you find that house that you want, you can theoretically go in during a weekday and sell all these positions because there's going to be an active market for that.
Yes.
So yeah, that's why we like these treasury bills, is because it is a very liquid instrument.
Yeah. So you can access these a couple ways. You can go onto Treasury Direct. So yes, that's where you buy them directly from the US government, or you can go through a brokerage. So if you've got a Schwab account, TD Fidelity, mm-hmm, or you can also access them through ETFs in there, where an ETF will compile hundreds of these in one fund for you.
Which is probably, I mean, we're not going to make any recommendations here, but that's probably the route that a lot of people should go.
It's a pretty efficient way to do it. It's a pretty efficient way to do it, rather than going and buying one and trying to stack them together. But another video probably for another time we could dive into. But if you look at the current rates right now, so three-month T-bills are yielding 4.38% right now. 6 months are just over 4.7%. And then 1 year's are also just over 4.7%.
Yeah.
So we can see right away, that's an annualized number. So if you buy a 3 month T-bill, you get your money back in 3 months, you earn an annualized rate of over 4.3%.
Yeah.
So we're already a 1.3% over what those high yield savings accounts were.
Yes.
And treasury bills are state income tax free. So that's another little perk. So we can see if somebody knows, I've got my emergency fund, okay, now where do I want to put money and I want it short term? This is a great way to all of a sudden earn extra reward without technically in the investment world really taking any more risk.
Yes. Now, as we all know with life, like nothing is truly risk-free in life. So there's always risk with anything. Mm-hmm. But whenever you talk about U.S. government bonds, the U.S. government bond is considered a risk-free asset because there's an extremely low probability of the U.S. not paying its debt.
Yeah.
Especially in 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah. Like, this it's not like a 30-year bond that you're buying, you know? So it's,
I'm confident by March of next year, we'll still be here. And we'll be good.
I'm pretty confident too.
I'll make that claim right now.
I'll bet you a dollar.
So now one thing to make note of though, is you saw the 6 month and the 1 year was the same number.
Bond markets are acting pretty weird right now. So there's an inversion currently right now happening in the US bond market. This is another topic for another day.
Yep.
Usually that precedes a recession. There's been talk about a recession forever. You know, we get comments like, hey, we've been hearing this recession talk for 18 months. Come on. When is it going to happen?
What's going on
here? We don't know, but we do see a slowdown and it's probably going to happen 2023 sometime. You know, it could be March of next year. It could be December of next year. We don't know. But keep that in mind. Whenever you talk about these rates that you're getting in, whenever you buy an individual bond, you're locking in that rate. Mm-hmm. But know that that rate changes not only every day, it changes like every minute.
Basically, yeah. With treasuries, yep. All day.
Yeah. These rates are changing constantly. So it's an active moving target. And if you don't really know what you're doing, we definitely recommend you seek out professional advice. Go out and talk to somebody who knows how all of this works, what the current marketplace looks like, what is going on, and someone who understands what your needs are, what you're looking for. Because when you start getting into buying a bond portfolio or building out a bond ladder or even a CD ladder or something like that, it can get really complicated really quick. And we see a lot of people make a lot of missteps with this and say, oh, well, I thought this stuff was guaranteed. It's like, well, certain aspects of it are guaranteed.
Yeah. Or right? We've seen some people go, oh, I bought this 2 year treasury bond. And it's like, why'd you do that? The 3 month is yielding more.
Yeah.
That was silly.
Exactly.
And now you get your money back in 3 months as opposed to being locked up for 2 years. So just pay attention to what you're doing and take a look at this. So, all right. So treasury bill is a big one.
Yeah.
Next one has been all the rage last year. Nobody had ever heard about it a few years ago. And now everybody loves talking about it. It's I-bonds, right?
Yes. I-bonds, inflation bonds. So we don't really talk about it too much because you just can't put that much money into it. I think that's the big thing.
It's got some restrictions to it. So I-bonds have two main components, right? There's this inflation adjustment. So that's one component. And then there's a fixed rate. The most recent I-bonds have a 0.4% fixed rate. And they've not paid a fixed rate in ages. So this is a new thing to have this fixed rate that's actually above zero. And the inflation component is 6.48%. So you add those together and they round it up and you can get 6.89% if you go and buy an I-bond right now.
Yep.
Now, people have to remember that inflation component, which is the vast majority of this yield it has, adjusts every 6 months. So in basically May and November, they announced new rates that are moving forward, and that can adjust. And hopefully, everybody's hoping inflation comes down. So who knows what I-bonds will truly yield in the future. But this is a place, again, where short term, you could put some cash here, where you could earn a higher yield than potentially treasury bills. But there are a little bit more restrictions in terms of I-bonds, and there's more rules.
So, Peter, how much money can you actually put into an I-bond?
There's a lot involved in this, but you can put in $10,000 per social security number.
Yep.
So, right, myself and my spouse can put $10,000 each.
Yep.
You can put an extra $5,000 if you get a tax refund. So say you get a tax refund of $5,000.
Yep.
You actually, people will probably notice this now. They ask you a question. Do you want to send it to checking, or you can direct it to I-bonds? Mm-hmm. So technically you could get $15,000 in there.
Yeah.
This is per social security number. So as well, if you have like a trust, you could have a trust investment account. A lot of people have that can buy I-bonds. Mm-hmm. A business can buy I-bonds.
Yeah.
So
that last one I didn't know about.
There is some nuance really in there. So you can get more money in there. But again, there are some restrictions. So other rules to keep in mind is there's no redemption within a year. Yeah. So you're committed for at least a year.
So that liquidity aspect, you're giving up some liquidity for these higher rates.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And then between 1 year and 5 years, if you redeem it, you lose the last 3 months of interest. So that could still be worth it for some people that say, hey, I'd prefer to earn almost 7%, and we'll see what those last 3 months look like in 2 years when I redeem it. But it's something to keep in mind of it's not as liquid as, say, treasury bills. So you have to figure out, is the extra return worth it because of these rules around
So I want to ask you a very personal question, Peter. Have you bought I-bonds yourself?
I've not bought I-bonds myself, no.
And me neither. So why haven't you bought I-bonds?
For me, it's more or less, my goal with investments is to beat inflation long term.
Yeah.
So with me, we have an emergency fund that's at Amex. That's where we keep cash. That is, we don't expect to use, but it's there if we need it. And then everything else, I invest.
Yep.
So I'm not looking to try to match inflation. So the recent I-bonds will beat inflation by 0.4%, right? So maybe if inflation drops in 2 years, the inflation adjustment is zero and you're earning 0.4% on this I-bond. Yeah. But that doesn't interest me as a long-term investor. And I want to beat inflation.
And it's also a hassle. I mean, it's such a hassle to open up these accounts and your money is locked up. And if you pull it out early, you're giving up some of that return.
This is just all very true.
A lot of work for a little bit of, $10,000 per person is not little. But when you start talking about your entire net worth and long-term goals, it's not,
yep.
I don't think the benefit is really there for the cost.
Yeah, I've heard somebody use return on hassle with the account. Like, is it worth dealing with this? Right. Now, that could depend on, as you said, each person's net worth and their goals. I think I-bonds make sense for that really short term. Like,
yeah,
I know I might buy a house in 2 years. Okay, great. But not before then. And I know I'm not going to need this money because, hey, it's $10,000 or $20,000 if I've got a spouse. And I'm not going to need it within a year because I've already got my emergency fund and I've already got some T-bills set up.
Yeah.
Again, there can be something of you're eking out a little bit more return out of it, but it has to make sense for that person. But yeah, personally, don't own them.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
I don't intend to buy them.
I'm perfectly fine not owning them. So
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
So yeah, I mean, I guess what's the big takeaway here for cash, right? I mean, you want to have something liquid, something that's safe. You got to have cash in your checking account for your daily operating needs. We like to have maybe about the 1 month or so buffer in there.
Yep.
Just for the normal volatility.
Yep.
Above and beyond that, you want to have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months worth of your savings.
Yep. Look at a high yield savings account. You should be getting around 3% on that account currently.
Yep. You should be. Yep. And pretty hassle free, right? Like Ally, and I'm sure Amex is the same way. It's a no frills account where you can link it up to your primary banking account and you can move money back and forth. And it's, they know that rate moves up and down with interest rates. So whenever we saw interest rates drop during the COVID era, I mean, that rate dropped as well. Yeah. But now that inflation is higher and rates are finally starting to catch up, you're starting to see that interest rate tick back up.
Yeah. American Express sent us an email announcing the new 3%. And it was like they were patting themselves on the back.
Oh, Ally
like,
too.
Hey, we're so good. We're giving you 3%. Don't you love us, Peter? Yeah. Like, this is a joke.
Yeah. I didn't get the same email whenever the rates were dropping.
It's like balloons going off. Like, look how nice we are. American Express doing good for Americans. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But after that, if you still have cash, either for personal reasons or short-term expense, Now you can look at getting more return, look at treasury bills, and then you can look at I-bonds.
Yeah.
So that's that order we'd look at of what to do with your short-term cash.
Yes. And I think the biggest one is make sure that it is safe and liquid.
Yep, absolutely.
Those are the big two things. So we appreciate your time. If you do have any questions, feel free to leave us a comment or send us an email. And if you do have any questions or if you would like any more links or resources, you can also go to our website, which is thewealthfix.com. So thanks, and we'll see you next time.
See you.